This is Rod FM in 60 Minutes with Beauty Salala.
A very good evening and welcome to another edition of Rise FM in 60 Minutes with your host, Beauty Salala. A big thank you to Zingisa Chira and Wandile Mazibuko. They are back tomorrow on Taking Care of Business between 6 and 7 p.m. Coming up on the show tonight, we speak to the coordinator of Traditional Healers Organization, Skoko Phepsile Maseko, on the significance of celebrating African Traditional Medicine Week. And then later on the show, we're going to be discussing the new lockdown regulations for weddings in the country. Now, 121 more people have died in South Africa after contracting the coronavirus, bringing the death toll to 14,149. In the last 24-hour cycle, 1,985 new infections have been picked up, pushing the number of known cases in this country to 627,000. The recovery rate is holding steady at 86%, meaning that 540,000 people have recovered so far. On the line, I'm now joined by Mpumalanga Health MEC, Sasakane Manzini. Good evening, MEC, and welcome once again to Rise FM.
Evening to yourself, Beauty, and to the listeners of Rise FM.
MEC, can you just start off by giving us a breakdown of COVID-19 stats from Mpumalanga?
As a province, we can indicate that we managed to screen 7,068,239, and out of that, we have conducted 137,415 COVID-19 tests, and the province has 24,132 positive cases, and out of that, 22,563 cases have fully recovered, which is 93%, which is something very good for the province. And we have lost 1,228, which are active cases, and we have lost 320 people. May their soul rest in peace. But we need also to celebrate the 93% recovery rate as a province.
It is indeed a good recovery rate. MEC, we are now 2 weeks into level 2 of the national lockdown. Are people still complying with the regulations?
We can say that the department and the country has done a lot in terms of educating our people in terms of understanding what is COVID-19. And hence, with the president, we felt that it is now time that we must ease the lockdown regulations, as we have correctly said, to level 2. And it is based on that the virus is now lower, as you can see, in terms of the numbers on a daily basis, in terms of transmission rates amongst our communities. And also means that if people don't care anymore, most of the, we can see that they've started to throw parties and everything. It doesn't mean that COVID-19 is no longer here. It doesn't mean that they are not going to be infected. Hence, we are saying that it only means that we must open the economy so that our people continue to go to work, because also that affects our country, so that we are able to continue to provide services to our people. But what it means is that let's allow more sectors to open, let's allow people to go to work, but at the same time, continue to make sure that you abide by the lockdown regulation in terms of your 50 people going to funerals, in terms of your people. Now they can visit their homes, but you know they are saying not more than 10. I heard that you are going to have a visitor. We're going to talk about the regulations, but to always continue to adhere to the regulation as stipulated. Put your mask when you are going out and washing your hands all the time. That's what we must continue to do, even though we are now level 2.
And MEC, we saw other provinces preparing AMA field hospitals. Do we have our very own line, Mpumalanga? And is there still a need for such, since you did mention, Ukuthi, the numbers are now going down?
As a province, our approach even from the beginning was not the approach of going to stadiums and all that. Hence, we did not have such plans as a province. We focused on making sure that our own facilities that we are having is either increase the number of beds that we were not utilizing before, or convert some of the facilities that we had. For example, we used our TB hospital in the province that we were not utilizing it fully, and we changed that to be our isolation areas. And further than that, for the ICU beds and all that, the focus was on Rofferer and your Witbank, so also your Kwamhlanga, because we're looking at the capacity, and also if whether the facility that we're going to construct, is it going to be used after, because we didn't want a situation where we just go and put this field hospital, and after some time we must remove it. So we wanted to put more investment on infrastructure than to put on something that we are not going to show after the COVID-19. So that was our approach even previously. Mm. Of course, now we have heard that in terms, because we are studying the data and the trend as a province, it tells you that we were able to manage the positive cases that we are having with the resources. Hence, even our quarantine facilities were not fully utilized and all that. Hence, we are saying it was good, the approach that we took as a province, to focus on the existing infrastructure. Even when we expand, let's expand to what we are currently having. Hence, we have seen us renovating your Barberton TV, BTP, your Donga, your Laton, your Bedal. So that's where we focus most as a province in terms of dealing with the COVID-19 and infrastructure.
Mm. And MEC, we saw you visiting facilities, checking on the availability of PPE for frontline workers. Tell us more about these visits.
Yes, we as a province, we are prioritizing the safety of our workers. Hence, as an MEC, I'm the one who tells workers to say, if you don't have PPE, you must not work.
Mm.
Because no, that as a province, we have got enough PPEs in the depot. And in terms of transporting our PPE to the different facilities, we are doing that. We have even made special arrangement to say, as and when there's a challenge, we are able to take the PPE to the facilities. So we are also working with the organized labor from time to time. On a daily basis, we are reporting to them on the level of stock of our PPEs. So we can say that as a province, we are prioritizing our frontline workers, and we are making sure that at all times, they've got correct and proper PPE for them to service our people, because we don't want to lose even one healthcare workers, because you know that there's a shortage in the country as it is. So if we are going to expose our frontline workers and we're going to lose them out of COVID-19, or they're going to be infected and they will be at work, that on its own affects us and our people in the province. Hence, we are prioritizing their safety at all times.
Okay. And then just in closing, MEC, is there any other message that you would like to give to the people of Mpumalanga?
It is just to continue to promote our preventative measures that everyone knows, even the children, they know that now they are washing their hands with water and soap. If not, they are using sanitizer. We must observe social distance when we are outside, in malls or you're in taxi rank and all that. And to make sure that the different stakeholders that are there assist us in terms of, you know, churches, some go to church, traditional leaders, they try to assist us in that regard, to make sure that you must be each other's keeper. If you see somebody at a shop or at a mall without observing social distance, you must tell that person to do so. If you see a person not putting on their mask, tell that person you must put on your mask, because that person is a danger to himself or herself, and to yourself and community and your family. So we must not wait for police to go and make sure that they enforce compliance. We must ourselves comply without being instructed, without being forced to do so. It must come from saying, I'm saving my life, my family's life, and the community where I stay. So if we can do that, I think we really appreciate also the work that you're doing in the media on a daily basis, communicating, educating our people on what to do in terms of preventing themselves and other people from being infected by the COVID-19. So let's continue to working together. That's what we are asking from our people. And we thank them for adhering to the regulation, those that are adhering to the regulations. We thank those that are staying at home if it's not necessary for them to go anywhere. So we have heard even other people saying, me and my family, we are still in level 5. By so doing, you're protecting yourself and your family and the community we are staying. So we really appreciate all the efforts that are being made by our members of the community into working with government so that we keep the spread of this virus.
MEC, thank you so much for making time to speak to us.
Thank you, Beauty, and to the listeners and of Rise FM.
And that was Mpumalanga Health MEC Sasakane Manzini.
The events, the issues, the Mpumalanga impact. Rise FM in 60 minutes with Beauty Selala.
Now, the celebration of African Traditional Medicine Week was concluded yesterday. African Traditional Medicine Week is celebrated from the 26th up until the 31st of August. This holistic medicinal practice by traditional healers incorporates natural herbs, ingredients, and African spirituality to bring physical, mental, and spiritual healing to individuals. On the line, I'm now joined by the coordinator of Traditional Healers Organizations, Ugogo Phepsile Maseko. Ugogo Phepsile, what is the significance of African Traditional Medicine Week?
The significance of African of Traditional Medicine Week is that the continent Africa has realized the potential, the economic and social benefits that we have in traditional medicine, and yet we're not talking much about it, and also that countries are not, you know, investing much into traditional medicine as an independent healthcare system that is not alternative, but rather indigenous to the country, South Africa, and also to the continent of Africa. So the significance here, more than anything else, is that we are promoting a healthcare system that is integrated into our culture and familiar, you know, with the way of life of people of Africa, and that is why we want to promote it as passionate as we possibly can.
And in your view, do you think that, you know, government is doing enough to involve traditional healers in official healthcare services?
You know, for as long as government is not able to put in place workable legal frameworks, the policies that necessitate for the promotion and development and commercialization of traditional medicine. Mm-hmm. I don't think we are happy with government. I don't think consumers of African traditional medicine are happy with government either. So there's nothing much that we're getting from government that we can say it assists in the development of an independent indigenous system of healthcare. So no, we're not happy at all. And the fact that also, unlike in Asia and other continents where the politicians are the ones that advocate for the promotion of their own indigenous traditional medicines, in Africa, in South Africa particularly, we're not seeing much of that. So that is where the problem lies, that our own people, once they descend from our own villages, locations, and live in cities, they then think everything that is cultural should be left with the city, should be left there to die, and themselves they should move alone. And that is a problem, because if you look at what has happened in India, when Indian people that are politicians, you know, transcended from their own villages and locations to a much more modernized city, they decided to take their culture with them. And part of taking culture was ensuring that their own traditional medicines and indigenous sciences was lifted and given a much higher status. We're not seeing much here. We're not seeing a lot of that here. Instead, we're seeing politicians that are preoccupied with wanting to fit into Western systems and into Western religions, into Western things that it will never help in the development of a bigger African continent.
And Gogo, what would you say are some of the challenges facing traditional healers today?
One, it is that we...